my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure of Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, a pilot captured video of a cigar-shaped UFO flying over Zion National Park at an altitude of 40,000 feet. MUFON has designated this occurrence as a, quote, case of interest, a designation only given to events that have a highly likelihood of being truly anomalous. The craft didn't exhibit any anomalous behavior in the video, but the high altitude rules out that it could be a simple drone. Some commenters believe that it was simply another aircraft, seen at a distance and from an awkward angle, although one would think the existence of airplane transponders would make identification simple in that case. In light of the Wuhan coronavirus, which has now killed more people in China than SARS, a top World Health Organization official warned that the world is dangerously unprepared to fight pandemics, with funding for outbreak prevention grossly inadequate in almost every member country. There are currently 195 Americans in mandatory quarantine due to the coronavirus, and more than 360 Chinese citizens. Finally, Betelgeuse, the most famous star in the constellation Orion, has been dimming lately, and scientists don't know why. This could be a sign that the red giant is heading towards supernova, which could happen tomorrow or in 100,000 years. Chances are we won't live to see it, but if we do, it wouldn't be the first time a famous star disappeared. In ancient times, the night sky is known to have looked different from today, with a different north star and some slightly changed constellations. In 1604, a supernova was observed for several weeks, shining brighter than almost everything else in the night sky. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. You know, that first one, the cigar-shaped UFOs, I find, I don't know, cigar shape in general, when that foreign body from a different solar system came passing through from the top just about a year ago, shape automatically assumed for me extraterrestrial. Anything that flies with wings for me is, possibly extraterrestrial, you know.
Well, what about helicopters?
They kind of got wings. They got the spinny thing. I mean, you know, without any sort obvious wind.
No, I know what you mean.
Situation, you know.
To be fair, when I watched the video, it looked to me like it could be another aircraft. Because, you know, if you see an aircraft from a distance, you know, in a side-on view, you don't see the wing jutting out. You basically just see a tube. Because that's kind of what the airplane is. It's a tube with wings. The thing that makes that seem weird to me is that airplanes, like I said, have transponders so that they, you know, they're sending out code so that people know, oh, hey, that's an airplane. Maybe it was deactivated for some weird reason. Maybe it was some secret military aircraft. Or maybe it was a cigar-shaped UFO. It looked a lot like sort of the Tic Tac sighting.
Well, as my wife likes to remind me, an airplane is more than just a cigar-shaped object with wings. It's also full of souls that have no control over their own destinies for the remainder of the flight. And then I'm glad you pointed out that coronavirus has affected more people than SARS at this point, because I have been wondering if this is...
Yeah, how does this compare to earlier...
Yeah, is it hype? You know, I mean, we know that our media system is just kind of hyping us and enjoying involvement in the clicks, you know. So I'm wondering how much of this is hype.
As far as I can understand, and I've read a lot about this, it is hype, frankly. But that doesn't mean there isn't something there. Like, literally everything that is in the news is hype because the news apparatus blows things out of proportion just... You know, as a matter of course, you can basically any story you read is presented as 50% more interesting than it actually is.
Sure, it's the nature of the beast.
But this is—it's still kind of a big deal. I mean, it's killed a lot of people, and this is with our best preventive efforts. I imagine, you know, a year will go by, and everyone will have forgotten this has happened, except obviously the people who lost loved ones. But I think it kind of underscores how easy it would be for a really deadly virus that is infectious to the same degree to spread.
Well, you know, that first year that the swine flu was going around.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this?
Yeah.
My wife and daughter got the swine flu.
Oh, really?
And they were actually up in bed for like 2 weeks, you know, maybe 3 weeks. They were all kinds of messed up. But at no point was it like a near-death situation.
Right. I don't know that the mortality rate is that high. But there was an Ebola scare a few years ago. And Ebola will kill you, man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Everybody. It's just not as infectious. Because as far as I know, it's not airborne. It transmits through fluids. But it only takes one airborne deadly virus, like septicemic plague in the 15th century, to kill a lot of people if an outbreak of something like that appeared.
Might not have been airborne. That plague they thought might not have been airborne, that it was transferred by fleas, right?
No, I know, but there are varieties of the Black Death that are airborne. There are various varieties. It can present as something that gets into your lungs and then you cough up the.
Man, diseases are just terrifying.
Or whatever. Diseases are terrifying.
It just makes me think of body horror. It makes me think of just all sorts of things that make me uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And then so if Beetlejuice blows up, let's see, we got this break coming up. So if Beetlejuice blows up, are we gonna get killed?
No,
it's not that close. No. We're just gonna see the light.
It's not that close, but it will be pretty bizarre for a little while. There are some stars that are nearby that are thought to be on the verge of supernova that would be visible during the day if they were to go supernova. As far as I know, there are other stars that if they were to go supernova would kill us instantly.
Awesome. Kind of. Are there stars close enough that would kill us? Is that what you just said?
I think so. I didn't actually research that particular point.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Who wants to really know?
It's not really. The thing is, though, you know, gamma ray bursts?
Right.
Those are basically a beam that's sent out by a star. They're basically the highest energy events in the universe. And that beam is so thin, we can't necessarily see it from a distance. So if a rotating star just happened to rotate the beam so that it intersects with planet Earth, our atmosphere would just ionize to nothing immediately.
Right.
And we would never see it coming. And that could happen at literally any time. So,
but the odds of that are truly astronomically low.
Literally astronomically low, yes.
We're coming up on break here, Kara. And tonight's guest is Ryan Gable. So if you're out there listening, stick around. You don't want to miss out on that. We're talking about, artificial intelligence and basically its effect on our future.
Take the troubles and throw. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ryan Gable. We're going to be talking about the technological elixir invoking artificial intelligence and understanding the arcana of mysticism. I think a great way to start here is maybe to have you break down what that title means.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in that title alone, and I tried to create one that was suitable for the material in the book. It starts out in the first couple of chapters of talking about philosophy and technology and things that relate to more spiritual elements, if you will, not taking a specific stance on a viewpoint or a belief system. And from there, looking at basically the human soul and the human spirit, what makes us us, and expanding on that into the proliferation of technology in general, various forms of technology. We think of computers, we think of phones, tablets, things like that, but there are other things that are classified as technology that we might not really consider. And so I try to break the black and white polarization between what we consider to be technology for those people who don't like technology, yet utilize it anyway, and for those who are staunch supporters of technology and love every piece of technology and don't consider the ramifications of some of those negative elements of technology. So in trying to provide a balanced approach like that, we go into various key elements of technological development, like artificial intelligence. From artificial intelligence, the book starts to move into a more metaphysical realm and a more occult realm, occult meaning hidden. And we start to utilize symbolism, anthropology, theology, even sociology to a degree, to analyze the entertainment industry as a whole, and the promotion of technology through the entertainment industry, through popular music and things like that. And then the book becomes almost paranormal as it takes us from the entertainment industry into a little bit of demonology, ufology, and this stuff called black goo, which you can find all throughout movies, television, music videos, what I would call a possessive force. Some people say black goo is a physical substance, like an oil. Other people say it's merely a metaphor. whatever it is, I've just documented the noticeable observations of black goo in the book as it relates to technology, almost as a called a possessive force, but almost as a form of living material. I've talked to some people who claim that it's like a living creature almost, this black goo substance. And when you're thinking black goo, it's literally like a black oil. And you see this constantly in movies and TV. If you pay attention, it's everywhere. Kids shows, music videos, it's all over the place. One of the biggest examples is probably the commercial for Lady Gaga's perfume called Fame. The entire thing is about black goo. So we look at that, and then the book concludes with a section on ufology and the opening of portals, looking into Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, JPL, and some stuff like that. So it really covers a wide range of subjects all under that title of the technological elixir, which basically means the elixir of life and people that believe that technology could be used to extend life indefinitely.
Now, when you say that you're not sure if the goo is a real thing or if it's a metaphor, how do you know that it even is?
That it is a... What exactly?
A thing.
Well, the thing is, we see this in... I could name movies and videos and things like this all night, but, I mean, from Lady Gaga in pop music, in the music industry, to something, as iconic as Venom in the Spider-Man universe. Venom is essentially black goo, to kids shows where black goo often represents pollution. In that case, it's more metaphoric. In other cases, it's like a substance that moves like venom. It has a consciousness. The reason that I can't really pinpoint is because I talked to a scientist in Germany who's kind of known as the black goo guy. He claims to have actually seen black goo in person, and some people have talked about how there are deposits of this stuff in South America, that there are these big, like, black oil, black goo deposits. So some people think it's more like oil, like the earth. It's just regular oil. And other people think maybe it's some kind of artificial substance from somewhere else, extraterrestrial in the sense that it's not from here. I just leave the door open for anything because I don't like to be too definitive to try to prove a point, because then I think I can lose out on other perspectives if I do that. So in my writing, I try to just leave information for the reader to decipher for themselves.
You know, I think the reoccurring question that people really have, and a lot of big names have chimed in on this. Some said we should fear artificial intelligence, and others have said that we don't have anything to worry about. Should we fear artificial intelligence?
I think a very healthy dose of fear to some degree is probably acceptable, because it allows us to be cautious and aware of the advancements of technology. But like anything, whether it's a gun, a hammer, a knife, it's really the intention of the wielder, the user, that determines what it's going to be used for. So when I have Elon Musk with his Neuralink system offering to sell basically microchips to the population to put a Bluetooth device essentially on your ear, drill a hole into your skull, and then plug this thing into your brain tissue, and this is the same guy who has a plan with other companies like Boeing and Facebook and Google to launch with his SpaceX company satellites, tens of thousands of satellites, to create basically a 24-hour-a-day internet grid over the whole Earth. So that's called Starlink. And I start looking at things like that, and I think, well, this guy has major aspirations to connect all brain, connecting all these satellites to create this internet system. I just start speculating and thinking, connect all the brains, then connect the brains to this, basically this net of satellites, a Skynet of satellites, for basically create the creation of full spectrum dominance. I say basically because I really don't know what's going on. It just looks like and it seems like this is a very dangerous thing. But on the other side, we address this in the book, there are obviously beneficial elements to artificial intelligence. There are people that develop algorithms, and there are people that develop, like the people that develop the mathematics and the coding for just basic forms of AI assistants. And I don't think those people have some nefarious agenda. They want to enslave people. They want to hurt people. But that technology could then be used by bigger companies to do just that. I mean, look what we've seen with Google and with Amazon with their voice assistants. The Apple voice assistant Siri is a result of a military project called the Cognitive Assistant That Learns and Organizes, Callo, that was organized and produced, that was funded through the Department of Defense and through DARPA and all them. And so the question that I ask in the book, and I think other people could ask this question too, it's obvious, we're supposed to trust that billions of dollars were spent by the Defense Department and by multi-billion dollar international corporations so that our lives are made easier by being able to search something with our voice. I just don't think that's the motivation behind why they develop those things. So we look at all of that in the book, and that's what I do on my show, The Secret Teachings, too. I personally don't like the proliferation, which seems to be, for the most part, unchecked in terms of the development of AI. And we've seen MIT scientists say, we really don't know what we've created, but we're going to keep building it anyway, which seems kind of dangerous and irresponsible to me. But that's me. What do I know? So my perspective is, I don't like it. It seems very dangerous to me, and I don't see as much of a benefit to it. But there are some benefits, and objectively speaking, we need to acknowledge those and not look at this as a polarizing issue, in my view. It's either good or bad. I don't buy that.
All right, we are coming up on our break here. You listen to our guest, Ryan Gable. We are talking about the technological elixir invoking artificial intelligence and understanding the arcana of mysticism. Come on back.
Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ryan Gable. We are talking about AI and mysticism and the connection with humans in general. How many steps away technologically are we really from being able to download ourselves onto a computer? Am I the first generation that's going to live forever? You know, how many steps away are we from that realistically?
That's a really great question that I rhetorically ask myself, too. And I think that there are different ways in which we could ask it and interpret the question itself. One of the ways I interpret that question is by looking at the way we utilize social media. And the way that we use technology today, whether it is a computer or a phone, the way that we upload our information already as a means of social interaction, as a means of communication, I believe is a huge step in uploading ourselves into these systems already. It's obviously different than uploading what people say is consciousness, which we explore in the technological Elixir book. It's not something you can upload. It's not something tangible you can put into a computer, at least philosophically speaking, metaphysically speaking. But you can put the data and the patterns of the personality into a computer, how people buy things, how people interact, the stimuli that drives action. And there are systems at, major universities like Purdue University has a huge computer system where they feed in all this real-world data from our digital interactions. And then with that data, they use algorithms and what I imagine is some form of artificial intelligence in this process to determine what people are going to do in these, they call it a real-world simulation, in a simulation so that they can then use artificial stimuli, drive this simulation, see where it goes naturally, and then start it over again with real-world information and try to stimulate the right things to move society forward in their simulations in the direction that they choose. And I'm not sure what direction they're choosing, but if you think about it from that point of view, with all the information we've uploaded already, with Amazon saying, hey, we can send you packages before you order them, we know what you're going to do. With cameras on your computer, they watch your eyes. They know how, you know, if your heart starts beating quicker, more rapidly, your pupils dilate. If you show interest in a product, they track where your mouse goes on the screen. Banks do that as well. That was in the New York Times a few months ago. So they know what you're going to do when you're going to do it and before you are going to do it, just based on pattern recognition and algorithms. And that's just from the information we've uploaded. Beyond that, Elon Musk, like we were discussing in the last segment, has taken that a step further into more of an integration into the merging of man and machine physically. But we've also seen that for a long time, too, because in the book we go through a variety of steps. It's the word you use, too, a variety of steps where we have handheld devices. We can hold them. We can always put those down and walk away from them, though. Then we have wearable devices, you know, like your smartwatch. You know, people have like Bluetooth headphones they hang on their neck so they can listen to music and things like that. And then you have things that are more attachable to the body. Some people are, this is a thing now, I think at some universities, people are getting like LED lights embedded under their skin, microchips. Yeah. And yeah, that just sounds weird. And there's no benefit to it except like, hey, check this out. I've got, you know, a red light under my skin. So right. You have things like that, and then also biostamps, which are electronic tattoos. Beyond that, then you start getting into the more direct forms of modification of the body or alteration of the body, like the microchip and Neuralink. And then the fifth step in that process that I go into in the Technological Elixir book is basically replacing organic life with synthetic life. So like in Star Wars where, you know, Anakin gets his legs cut off, and you replace them with, you know, with mechanics. Luke gets his hand cut off, replace it with mechanics. But we're looking at doing that, yes, for artificial organs and 3D printing, and there's a great benefit there. But then you're going to – was a video game. Was it called Deus Ex or something, where they got, like, this division between people that want to become machine and people that don't want to become machine and people that are kind of in the middle. So it creates this rift in society. I forget the name of the game, but we've already, in a way, reached that point where there are major divides between people who want to incorporate themselves into these machines that think it's fun and they're going to live forever, what you alluded to, and people like myself who I want to live as simply as possible and limit my interaction with these kinds of things. So whether or not we get to that point, I think it's going to come about. I think it's going to come about without us realizing it, to answer your question.
Right. Yeah, I've talked to people about that and tried to make it clear that, you know, it'd take a very finite set of situations, I think, for the robot apocalypse to happen or whatever like that. that really we're going to see a mutual evolution moving forward together, where the human and the machine blur and we're not really sure who's what anymore.
Yeah, and I think all those steps come together simultaneously, because we've got handhelds and we've got wearable devices and fusible devices and injectable devices, and some people are getting 3D printed organs already. All that's happening at the same time while we work with computers and phones and things like this to upload our information. So it's all happening at once. And I don't think it'll be a light switch that comes on like a movie with an orchestra playing behind it. It's not going to be like iRobot or AI, that movie with Robin Williams. It's going to be a slow integration process, a slow incrementalism, that whether or not you consider it in any capacity to be some kind of Far East agenda, it'll come about as a result of what you could consider to be just a natural technological evolution, whether that's being directed by madmen, you know, competent scientists, or a little bit of both.
What do we think the future of religion is going to look like in that situation? Of course, we're going to have extremists that want nothing to do with it, but we're also going to have people adapt to it.
Yeah, well, there's already I think it's in Japan, there's a Buddhist robot preacher. It's a robot that acts as a preacher. There's actually a religion of artificial intelligence, which was founded by a former Silicon Valley guy. It's literally like a church of AI where they worship AI as a god. And I don't know how many people take it to that extreme, but there are some. I mean, I know just random people that I've met in my life that I've made as acquaintances, and I talked to them about this kind of thing just in passing in a conversation. And some of them are very, very dead serious. Like, they want that. Like, they think that artificial intelligence is not only a good thing, but that it's godlike. And they're not necessarily like out of their minds. They're just like, no, this is a great thing. Because I think people see it as the next step in human evolution, or the next step in human progress, not to use a Darwinian term necessarily. And that's where I stop. I don't see it necessarily as the next step in human progress. I see it as a forced interjection in human progress, being controlled by companies and individuals who have ulterior motives and agendas in a way that the inevitable, I think, outcome is literally full spectrum dominance, complete control of everything through machines and computers. And that process is going to be carried out by convincing us in a colloquial way, in a friendly way, that this is all for convenience, it's all beneficial. Just like with the voice assistants spending billions of dollars, tech companies, Defense Department, just so that we can ask, hey Siri, what movies are on tonight and what time do they start? They're not spending that kind of money to make our life easier. 5G isn't going up so that we can download a movie faster. That's right. Just what it's being sold on. There's obviously some other motivation, ulterior motive. And if that's what they're selling it to us on, I imagine that the ulterior motive is not that great.
With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Redding, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ryan Gable. We are talking about basically artificial intelligence and the future of humanity and machinery, transhumanism, and our goals to get there, or our motivations to get there. You know, how much of this do you think is in the world of people controlling other people and utilizing these things, how much of a long-term plan do you think is premeditated? Or do you think this is a slippery slope that we're all just walking down? Or do you think there is an execution here of a plan?
Well, I look at that in the book as well, The Technological Elixir, and I talk about it a lot on my radio show. And since I'm open to looking at so many avenues and not trying to really prove a point, I think that we can look at this as a very, very wide-ranging spectrum, where on one end you just have college kids. Like, there are some college kids in Canada. I think they were in, I want to say Toronto, or I think somewhere around that area of Canada, and they developed a system by which they could listen to your voice, and then they could mirror that voice, and then they could replay it back, but then they could use that as a way to create a voice that's your voice, but then to say anything. And these are just college kids who invented this. Same thing at UC Berkeley. Some kids came up with neural dust, smart dust. You could just type that in, UC Berkeley smart dust. It'll come up a major university publication. So just some kids made that. But that stuff is also the kind of stuff that will be looked at by the military and by private companies, and they'll come in and buy it up, buy the rights to it, buy the patents, or they'll give these people a lot of money, and then they'll disappear into the woodwork of these, you know, whether it's the military, defense contractors, you know, corporations, whatever. So that's on one end of the spectrum. Just some kids who thought, like, I got a great idea. You know, they're engineers. They develop something, makes them a lot of money. They get a great job, and then they're brought into that system. On the other end of the spectrum, you have people like Elon Musk. I thought it was interesting that Wernher von Braun, the chief, basically the head who developed everything that NASA is today and was, Wernher von Braun wrote a book called Project Mars, A Technical Tale. And he talked about going to Mars, there was like a colony of people on Mars, like aliens, and they were led by this being, if I remember this correctly, they were led by this being named Elon. And so from the book, you get this idea of beware of the Elon, because you couldn't trust Elon. Well, this is the Elon Musk who wants to go to Mars. This is the Elon who wants to connect our brains and wants to literally put a net of satellites in the sky, a literal Skynet system with his Starlink program. And he comes off as like, oh, I built a flamethrower. You know, I've got this gothic girlfriend. I'm cool. I'm just like you. I sweat a lot. I'm really nervous on stage. I'm just a regular guy like you. And he probably is. But he's also made these comments like, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. So he clearly knows how dangerous it is. He knows that this is a double-edged sword, to say the very least. But like those people at MIT who have said, we know that this is dangerous, but we can't stop. We have to keep developing this. So I started to think maybe there's a more otherworldly force involved, kind of like the Borg from Star Trek, just as a reference point, and that there are perhaps entities or forces working through people like Elon Musk. And, I mean, people like him and some of these other Silicon Valley people, there's no doubt that these guys, some of them probably already have microchips and wires in their brain. And if they don't have that, a lot of them, like I think it's Bezos, who's very well known for just taking handfuls of supplements and all these various experimental drugs and products to try to extend his life and life quality and things like that. It might have been Bezos. It might have been somebody else. So a lot of these guys, I think, on some hardcore drugs. And traditionally speaking, in the world of the paranormal and in demonology, when people are taking a lot of drugs or they're drinking a lot of alcohol, that opens the door for what we call possession, what other people call walk-ins. So they become more susceptible to spiritual influences. And so I just talked about that in the book, that perhaps these people are under the influence of some demonic force, alien force, whatever you want to call it. And that's driving this forward. That's why people like Elon, they recognize the danger, but it's almost like they've got a gun to their head. Like the cops are called, the cops show up, the guy's got a gun behind the door, and the cop says, everything okay? And you're like, yeah, everything's okay. And you're trying to, you know, nudge your head to the left, showing the other, he's got a gun behind the door. And that's, it kind of feels like that from some of these guys. They get on stage, they're sweating, they just look burned out, or they look like their brains, their everything's fried. And they're like, yeah, we built this. We gotta keep doing it. We have to keep building it. We don't know how to stop. It's like they're almost like they're being controlled. So I think the spectrum is as wide as some college kids to something that's other dimensional. And that's why this system is just like global, worldwide. And it seems to be just like in politics, when a policy is introduced or a bill is introduced in one state and it's passed and it sets a precedent, suddenly six other states have the same bill. And then they pass it too. And I think that's very similar to what's happening in technology. It's like, well, we developed this. Some other people, you know, it does have that, you know, space race feel to it, that AI race, whoever can get there first. So it's about economics and money and building your portfolio and your company and your job. And that's part of the spectrum too. But I really think, to answer your question, it goes from the college kids to other dimensional entities, and perhaps the spectrum's even bigger and larger than that, anything I can imagine. That's just how I see it.
All right, so we're coming up close to the end of the interview here. I want to give you a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you and especially where they can get their hands on your book.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The Technological Elixir, Black Goo Transhumanism and Invoking AI. It's over 400 pages, 6x9, so it's a massive book. And it is available along with my two other books called Food Philosophy, a little bit of a smaller book on the food industry and ingredients and things like that. And then what I would consider to be my life's work masterpiece, a 500-plus page book, 525 pages, on occultism. And it covers everything from voodoo to mythology to magic to theology to demonology. A lot of the stuff that I use for the Technological Elixir to break down the entertainment industry towards the end, my specialty other than health is really in symbolism and pattern recognition, what I do on my show. So all those books kind of have a relationship with one another. And you can find Occult Arcana, Food Philosophy, and the Technological Elixir, along with my growing show archive. I've done radio for 10 years. I've got 6 years of the archive up at www.thesecretteachings.info. And I also have some really great reviews in these books from people in the radio business in particular, like Kev Baker, Clyde Lewis, Leo Zagami, and Mark Devlin, and a handful of others who have read these books, and they've given me some reviews. They're in the book, and they're also on the website, so you can see what they say. And then again, the archive is there, and that's usually the major method by which we support our show to get it on the air 5 nights a week on the Fringe FM.
All right. Thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Ryan Gable. We've been talking again about his book, The Technological Elixir, and you can find out where to get that by, if you didn't have a chance to take notes, visit us at RadioWasteland.us, and we will make sure that you get there.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.